We're going to be reading Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, and then we're going to skip down to verse 33. So Matthew 6, 24, and then verse 33. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. If you don't have that, no worries. The words will appear on your screen for the sake of us sounding like we're reading in concert and not reading in tongues. Let's read it all together from New King James Version. All right, you ready? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now jump down to verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Father, we thank you for this message today. I pray, Lord, that you will minister life to your people. Lord, move me aside. Holy Spirit, you come in and you teach this word with power and vigor. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and say, first things first. Oh, turn to somebody else and say, look, first things first. All right. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. You know, I got to remind myself, we shouldn't be pointing our finger at folks, right? Because when we point our fingers, what they say, you got three of them pointing right back at you. So maybe we're really telling ourselves three times, first things first, first things first. First things first. We're in this series on releasing abundance. And for the last 2 weeks, we've really been talking about who is your master? Who do you serve? And Jesus says in Matthew 6, 24, and I love that Jesus is saying it, because if it wasn't in red, y'all would probably be like, oh, pastor, you just throwing that up there. You just want us to hear this. But Jesus actually did say this. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. That means it is absolutely impossible. You cannot, there's no way for you to do both. That means that there's a competition for who is going to be Lord of your life. You're going to either hate the one and love the other, or be loyal to the one and despise the other. We talked over the last 2 weeks that the primary competitor for our worship in this world is mammon. It's money. It's chasing after things, chasing after stuff. And we know, you might say, well, what about Satan? I thought our competitor against God was Satan. Well, who is behind our chase? Who is behind us going after this stuff? And if you don't understand how that works, then listen to the last 2 weeks' messages, because those messages we talk about, that Satan uses mammon as a primary focal point for us to tempt us and to bait us and to lure us away from serving God and to lure us into serving him. Now, Jesus says, look, you can't do both. It's impossible for you to serve both God and mammon. Today, I want to show you another way that you can determine whether you're serving God or mammon. Now, listen, we've been talking about how to release abundance. I think today's message is the number one key to really transitioning and releasing abundance in your life. I think when I'm done with the message today, I hope that you'll look at your life and you'll say, wait a minute, maybe the reason why I haven't seen God completely release things in my life is because I didn't do this thing. Now, listen, if you miss this thing, I'm gonna tell you right now, you're gonna miss abundance coming in your life. It's that important. So I need everybody to really kind of perk your ears up. And I know we had a good time in worship and we're all excited, but sometimes after you have a good time in worship, you just want to sleep. Don't go to sleep. Okay, stay awake, because this is a good one. All right, now Jesus didn't say you can't have both God and mammon. He never said you can't have both. He just said you can't serve both. Ooh, I'm so glad he didn't say that. Because that would mean that God is like, you can't have things and blessings. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying you can't be blessed. He's saying you can't serve the blessing. Oh, you can't serve God and mammon at the same time. Now, if you jump down to verse 33, then Jesus goes on and says, well, seek first. Jesus wants us to help us understand who we serve. Whoever, listen to me, whoever or whatever you serve is first in your life. Let me say it another way. Whoever you first serve is first in your life. Okay. Whatever is first in your life is who you serve. And who you serve is your God. So the question is, what's really first? That's why Jesus says, I love when you, many of us just read this fact, seek first kingdom of God and all these things, all those other things we have. We can know that by memory, blah, 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 blah. But we don't understand that Jesus says it's got to be seek first. We skip over those two words. First. First is such a powerful word in the Bible. Everybody say first. We have to put God in number one position. God is like, I don't want to be in top five of your life. And many of y'all are like, well, he's first for me. By the time we finish this message, I want you to really evaluate, is he truly first? Because a lot of us are saying he's first, but we're not living like he's first. Look, if you're just fitting God into your schedule, then he's not really your God. Whatever is ahead of him is your God. See, Jesus wants to show us what to do to get our hearts right so that we truly seek first the kingdom of God. What do you put first? What is number one on your agenda? What is the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? Some of us, the first thing we do, you know, and it's not even about do I spend time and have devotion and pray, because I understand some of y'all might do that at lunch because that's more convenient for you. Some of that you might do that at dinner. But you know what? Some of y'all might do it at night before you go to bed. That's fine. But if he really is first in your life, when you wake up, you ought to at least say something to him. I wake up every morning. I don't even get out of my bed. I just lay in my bed and I say, good morning, Father. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus. I love you, Holy Spirit. I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. I give you my day today. That took like 1 minute. And then I get on up and then I brush my teeth and wash my face. And if I got up real early, I'll have devotion. But if I didn't get up real early, I'll skip that and have devotion later. So, I mean, I ain't trying to beat you up and say, you got to have your devotion in the morning. I'm just saying, did you acknowledge him first? Come on, tell us, if you get married to somebody and you sleeping in the bed with them, when you wake up in the morning, my mom and daddy used to say, you need to speak to them. If they first, you ought to acknowledge that they, some of y'all think, well, I slept with you, that was good enough. No, no. If they're first, you ought to say, good morning. Come on, somebody. But we God is the most important person in my life. Jesus, I love you. I'm worshiping you and I'm blessing you. And I wake up and I don't talk to you till about 3:30 in the afternoon. God isn't first. God is an afterthought. Or I talk to you when I need you. That's not first. Let me tell you, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. See, there are people who are Christians, but they spend their lives seeking the stuff. It becomes evident that stuff is priority. God, here's how you know the stuff is a priority. God will ask you to do something and you'll say, well, I can't do that because I got to do this first. God says, you know, the church is having problems finding people to watch babies. We don't have enough people to watch babies. We have to close down our infant room because we don't have enough volunteers. And you know what most people are saying? Well, I'll do that later. Let me get some things together first. And then I'll come back and do that. Some of y'all, it's just not your gift. Those people I don't get mad at. Because I'm going to tell you, back there with a bunch of pooping babies is not my gift. I'll be looking, stop pooping. What's wrong with you? I know it's wrong. It's wrong. It's not my gift. I'm not talking about people who are, I'm talking about folks the Lord has called you to do something. The Lord's called you to teach youth. The Lord has called you to serve. The Lord's called you to be a part of this amazing worship team, and you got every excuse in the book why you can't do it. You know what you say? You say, but I got to go take care of this. I don't have time. Or, ooh, when my kids get out of school. Or, ooh, when I this. You know how many times we say, when this happens, then I'll. Ooh, when I finally get enough money, then I'll really start tithing. Never works. Ooh, I'm going to talk about that too. Let me tell you, the worship team sang my jam. Give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together. All they did was sang scripture back to y'all. Those are some of my favorite songs, right? God asks us to do something. We say, I can't because I got other stuff to do. Those things that are keeping us from doing what God wants us to do are tied back to something that we want. Guess what that means? Mammon. But Pastor, you don't understand this. Look, go after it and go after it and go after it. We'll keep chasing these things until our life starts to fall apart and be a mess. Why? And then we say, Lord, why is my life a mess? What happened to me, Jesus? And God says, you didn't seek me first. Here's what's funny is, you know, God asks us to do something. We'll say, Lord, I got other stuff to do. I'll come back and I'll deal with that later. You are chasing that other stuff. Then stuff starts falling apart. Then you start saying, well, I'm going to go back to church. because my life is falling apart. And then you come back to church and then you open up the scripture and you say, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Say, yes, Lord, I'm seeking you first. And Jesus is like, I'm not first, I'm last. You waited till you got in a big old mess and then you came back and you want to claim. You can claim a lot of promises, but you can't claim that promise. Don't nobody want to tell you that. You can even claim, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. But don't be praying, Lord, but if I seek you first, your kingdom and your righteousness, all this other stuff will be added. And God is like, stop saying that because you ain't do that. You waited till you got in a mess and then you showed back up at church like, here I am, Jesus. I'm seeking you first. I just want to help you understand that that's not seeking him first. Now, let me help you. When you come back to him like that, he's like, thank you. Hallelujah. I'm excited that you're here. Let's move forward. Now, tomorrow you can seek me first, but right now don't act like this is me first. Jesus becomes our last resort, but we want to say he's first in our life. Whoo, I guess all else has failed. I'm hit rock bottom now. I got nothing else to do but pray. That's not first. Now, I'm not saying it's okay if you pray. I want you to pray. You need to pray. You need to seek God. You need to get on your face and you need to wake up the next morning and then put him first and move forward and put him first every day. It's all right if you mess the thing up, but I just want to acknowledge that that is not first. So you can stop playing with yourself thinking that he's really first because he ain't. Oh, I done came to mess this up. Come on, somebody. That scripture just don't apply at that moment. But it's all right. We come to Jesus and here's what we do. We come to the altar and we've given our life to Jesus and we pray that prayer they tell us to pray. We say, oh, Lord, I make you Lord of my life. That word Lord in the Greek is kurios. Those of you who've been in OSL know what it means. It means that he is your owner, your master, your controller, and your decision maker. It means that you made the last decision you will ever make when you said, he's Lord. Because now he is in control of my life. And we come to the altar and we pray those wonderful prayers. Repeat after me. You repeat and you feel good and the Holy Ghost fills your heart and you're like, yes, I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. And then you walk out of here and you keep doing what you want to do. Now that's okay for a minute. But I'm trying to teach y'all, that's not how God wants you to live. God, if he really is number one and Lord of your life, then when you leave, it's Lord, whatever you want to happen in my life, I'm going to let you do. If the Lord tells you to tithe, you don't be like, I don't really feel like it. How about this one? You've come to the altar, I've made you Lord, and we encourage you to get baptized. And you know what people say? I got to get myself together. Now, if you haven't been baptized, this might be convicting for you. I don't want to make you feel bad. I just want you to make a switch. Make today the day that you say, I'm going to do it first. Guess what? We got baptisms on the fourth Sunday of the month, every fourth Sunday. So it might, you know, you might say it's first, but it might take 3 or 4 Sundays to get there, but that's okay. So I want you to think about that. How many times do we say, God, I make you Lord, but then we put him last? Anytime God is not in the number one position, he's already last. You might say, no, he's not that far down on the list, but he don't want to be 2, 3, 4, or 5. He don't do number 2. He is either number 1 or not at all. And we play around and we think, because I go to church on Sunday, hey, I went to church this Sunday, God, I put you first. And God is like, that is so good. But I ain't heard from you in 6 days. I can't do Bible study because I got something to do. It got quiet as church house mouse up in here, didn't it? I got other stuff I have to do, you know, and we don't understand that we are chasing stuff over putting God first. And we look at our calendars and stuff is so busy. And God is like, I want to be Lord of your calendar. The reason why we're so frustrated, we're trying to do everything on our own, trying to figure out how to fit it all in. If he's really Lord of our calendar, you say, God, what you want me to do? And he will start. Let me give y'all a little story. And I say this all the time, and I love telling this. I love talking about how much people try to tell you what you're supposed to do. If you want to be successful, you need to do this. You know what I'm talking about? Girl, if you want to move up in this company, this is how you need to act. Girl, you need to be the first one here and the last one to leave. You need to make sure you do stay in your desk at work. Never do. Don't go out for lunch ever. Don't ever talk. Don't do this. Don't do that. And you know, and I start laughing because I'm like, you know, what does God say I need to do? Because if I do what God says, He'll always bless me and give me a promotion. He's the one I'm trying to appease, not these people. If I have kids and I can't be here early in the morning, late at night, God knows that. God will say, look, you got to do what you got to do and I'll take care of the rest. You ever wonder why some folks keep getting blessed and get opportunities and you're looking at them going, they ain't even do half the stuff I did. And they're like, because I put God first. 101 people telling me what I need to do with my kids. No, they tell me they need to be in baseball here. They need to go to basketball here. And boy, you want your kid to get a scholarship? They got to do this. They got to do this. And I just stop and I say, Lord, what you want me to do with these people? These are your children. They're not mine. I don't know what to do with little people. And it felt like, you know, this year in baseball was like horrible. Everybody was like pulling on us. You need to do this and do this. And it felt like we were taking a step backwards by going to play in a particular league. And the Lord said, no, your son needs to just go have some fun. And everybody's like, well, he's trying to make Valley's baseball team. He got two more years to do that. Shut up. God knows. God knows what the boy needs to do. Boy goes out on Saturday, has the best time of his life playing a game. Wins the game, hits a walk-off triple. And he's like coming, all the kids are jumping on him, hitting, patting his head, and blah, 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 blah. And he's walking off. He was like, Mom, that was awesome. And he says his birthday's on Monday. Happy birthday to me, Mom. That's what he says. And you know what I say? I say, you don't understand. Everybody out there wants to tell you, but if I put God first, God will tell me what to do with this child. God will show me, and I believe God honors that. We don't play on Sundays. And I've loosened that up. I said, you can play on Sunday morning if you go to church on Saturday night. And he'll be like, I don't like other people's churches. So he was like, well, if I have to, I'll go to church with somebody else on Saturday night just so I can, but I ain't going to do that all the time, Mom, because I love my church too much. I said, you're still honoring God first because you're still going to church. I'm cool with that. Watch this. But everybody's saying to you, oh, your kid can't do it. The coach is now rearranging schedules and said, well, we won't play a game until after 1 o'clock on Sunday. First things first. Now we can look at that with our kid, but let's talk about us. On Wednesday nights, we are so overbooked. And we talk about, I got homework, I got this, I got that, it's too difficult. Now I understand that there are many reasons, like some people, they can't drive at night. Now I get that, I'm cool, hey, health reasons, hey, cool, understand those things. But I'm talking about those of us that are willing and able, and the Holy Spirit says, you need to go because I got a word for you. And you know what we do? We say, ooh, yeah. You know, the kids got to do all this homework. I've discovered that when I put God first, their homework always falls in the line. And the days that I don't put them first and I go, I'd be like, I'm about to choke you. It always works. Sorry, that's Jesus. Why is this so important? Because Jesus put you and me first. Ephesians chapter 5:25 says this, husbands, love your wives. You can just write this down. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. Check this out. And gave himself for her. Jesus gave himself up for us. If you jump down to verse 31 in that, Ephesians 5:31, it says this, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined in his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, most people think that that's just talking about marriage, but Jesus left his father in heaven to come down for you and I, to be joined together with you and I. See, that's real love. He put you first. See, when you get married to somebody, they are number one in your life. Mama and daddy used to be number one in your life. But when you say I do, number one position becomes the person that you're living with. Now, if mom and daddy's still number one, it's probably causing conflicts. Oh, I just healed somebody's marriage right there. Boop. Somebody with a mother-in-law problem is like, yes, amen. When I choose to marry someone else, that person is now number one on this earth. What does that mean? That means if people ask me, hey, we getting ready to go out and I want to go hang out, I'll just say, yeah, I'm going to go. You know what I do is I go back to my spouse and say, hey, what we got going on? Why? Because they're number one. They're the first position. solution in our life. When I get ready to go buy something, I'm not talking about a hot dog, but I'm talking about I'm getting ready to go buy, you know, my new phone or brand new car. I don't just go talk to everybody else. I go to number one and say, look, what do you think? What do we need? How is this going? Because you, look, and when you don't do that, the other person feels like they are, look, they're like, what? You didn't consult me? What are they saying? I'm not number one. I don't matter. And God is like, you're getting ready to go buy a new car. So you're just like, Lord, I ain't got enough money. No big deal. I can just sign that dotted line. God's like, did you consult me? Because see, when you get married, what happens? That debt doesn't just go to you. It go to the other person you married to. And Jesus is like, when you go sign your dotted line, now you taking on debt that I don't even want. I want to bless. Look, if Jesus is like, I'm your spouse. Look, I got you so much. You ain't even got to worry about it. What? Let me tell you this story. I'm chasing a few rabbits, but they're good rabbits. I had been married for about a year. And when I was married for about a year, I mean, I'm really like, God, I'm a strong-willed girl. So I'm really learning this submission thing. You know, I'm trying to submit. It's hard when you're strong-willed because you think it means something that it really don't mean. So you just bucking it, right? So I have about a year in, I have a car accident. And my car is totaled. And I mean, this is a car that I'd worked and paid for. And her name was Lucy. You loved Lucy. And now Lucy's gone. And I went to my husband, and I was just like, man, they totaled my car out. I don't even know what I'm going to do. The amount they're trying to give me for a car, there's no way I can replace Lucy for that. And my husband said, I got you. I was like, what the heck that mean? See, when you have trouble submitting, you don't know what I got you means. You're like this. You're like, you got what? Details. You going to buy me a car? You going to give me the money to buy a car? I'm supposed to go find a car. I need to understand. I'm confused. But see, he said, I'm first. So you know what he did? He took care of it. And I kept asking questions. And he just told me one day, he said, would you just shut up? And I was like, well, I need to know. He was like, you said you're going to submit. I'm going to take care of this for you. And I came home one day. No kidding. Came home one day, super tired. I've been ministering to kids or something. I don't know. And I was just tired. I was worn out. I came home. And he says, go look in the garage. I said, I'm tired. He said, just go look in the garage. Go look in the garage. I have this gorgeous convertible BMW Z4 2-seater. He says, you're young. I think you need to have those cars before you have kids. I was like, oh, heck yeah. Bam, bam. See, when I decided that I was going to stop chasing everything else, he put me first. And when he put me first, he met my need. And God is like, if you will put me first and trust me as your spouse, the one you're engaged to, I will meet your need. And I don't want just meet your need. I want to blow your mind when I meet your need. I wasn't looking for a 2-seater convertible that I could zip around town in and look fabulous in. I wasn't looking for that. You know what I was looking for? A replacement for my little, you know, hatchback. Come on. God is like, will you put me first? See, when you put me first, you let go of all that other stuff. You trust him. You don't worry about it. He takes care of it. He's not tripped out over that stuff. Look, Solomon came to God. And God came to Solomon. Y'all remember Solomon? Solomon was David's son, and he's getting ready to lead the people. And Solomon came to him, and this is how you're going to know you're first. If God asked you the question he asked Solomon, what would you say? He told Solomon, he says, Solomon, I'll give you anything you want. What do you want? You ever had God ask you that question? I have God ask me that question about once a month. And I think the reason he keeps asking me because I never answer it. Because I'm afraid to answer that question. Because I'm afraid you might give me what I asked for. A little nervous. And I've watched over time that when God asked me that question, and you can find the question in John 15:7, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. And God will say, so what do you want? What do you wish? And I'll be like, oh, Jesus, give me a minute. And I've discovered over the last 6 years that when God's been asking me that question, my answers have completely changed. When they first answered them, they were all about, oh, look, God, I need this. I need a house. I need this. I need blah, 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 blah. And now this last time he asked me, I was like, God, my friend has cancer. I need you to heal him. Lord, I got a friend that's not. I have 5 things on my list, none of which were about me. And I said, man, God, you've really grown me. And God said, no, you just figured out how to finally put me first. See, if you put me first, all these other things will be added to you. I don't even know why you're tripping off that. If you seek first his kingdom and his kingdom business, all the other stuff will be added to you. So I started thinking, I was like, oh my gosh, God, you're amazing. And here's what Solomon came. God said, Solomon, what do you want? Solomon said, look, give me wisdom. Most people, short answer, give me wisdom. But you got to catch the long answer. The long answer wasn't just give me wisdom. It was give me wisdom to govern these people you've made me governor over. Which means, God, I have a kingdom assignment and I want wisdom to do your will in my life. See, that's putting God first. And we don't think about that. We don't think when God asks us, what do you want? We don't think about other people. When we go, here's how you figure it out. When you pray, what do you pray about? How much of your time in prayer is about you? How much of your time in prayer is about somebody? See, I don't have to belabor things in prayer about me for a long time, because if I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these other things are going to be added unto me. So I got to come to God in prayer. Now, and I'm not saying don't pray for yourself. I'm just saying that the bulk of your prayers are to be about the kingdom. Think about how Jesus prayed. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What is it about? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he deals with that before he goes in to give us this day our daily bread. It's a model for how we pray. So do you seek God first in your prayer life? Now, let me talk to you about this real quick. Why do we do this? Why do we seek God first? The Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. The word first is in the English Bible 450 times. Now, let me see if you can see a pattern. I'm going to go through these pretty quick, so write these down. And I didn't give them to the people in the back, so it's going to move really fast. And they might not all appear on your screen, but write them down if you want to see them. Exodus 20, verse 30 says this, you shall have no other gods before me. This is Jesus. This is God speaking and saying, if you put anything else before me, your sequence is off. I'm not first. let me see if I can help you. If something is number one, then if you put something before number one, where does number one go? Two. So God is saying, you can't put anything before me, because the minute you put something before me, I move to number two and I don't do two. Y'all see that? Okay. He's not saying you can't have other people. He's not saying you can't have other things. Even the things that other people make gods, God is not saying you can't have those. He's just saying, don't put them before me. That's a different way to put it. Watch this. Exodus 22:29 says, you shall not delay to offer the first. Somebody say first. The first of your ripe produce and your juices. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to God. Notice that the Bible says you shall not delay. Why does the Bible say you shall not delay? Because if you delay, you're going to be doing something else first. You ever said, I'm going to wait to pay my tithes? And then something always eats your tithe money up? That's why you can't delay. That's why I love giving online, because when you give online and you set up automatic giving, recurrent giving, it takes that money first out your check and you don't even realize it's gone. Nobody wants to say, the two people said amen who do it. Listen, look, the reason why you don't like automatic deductions is because you're scared you ain't gonna have enough money in the bank. You scared that if I set it up, I might accidentally forget that it's automatically coming out of my account, and I might forget, and then they might deduct, and then that's $35. And I already told you that that's a $30 billion industry, overdraft fees in this country. So you're like, I'm not contributing to that $30 billion industry. I will not set up an automatic draft. But the problem is what happens is if we don't, come on, automatically, some of us automatically get that first taken out, what happens is we start spending the first. That's why God says don't delay. See, now they didn't have automatic giving back in the Old Testament. Can you imagine them automatically deducting a goat? It's like you just see goats just beaming up to the Jesus. My mind, I'm an engineer, so I have to visually see things sometimes. Like, woo! I'd like to do automatic withdrawal, Jesus, the first of every goat, every heifer. You just see stuff flying in the air all day. Oh, that's tides going up right there. But praise God, God is making it easier for us now to be able to. Now you might, if that's not your thing and you don't do automatic giving, then you better make sure when you come to church the first, or when you write out your bills, your first check is to tithe. Do not delay. Now I'm going to talk to you about tithing this morning because some of y'all think that first is first is only about tithing. That will get to that. But really, this is don't delay in doing what God's telling you to do. God's telling you to forgive somebody. Don't delay. Why are you sitting up waiting? Because what you're saying is that's not first. If you're supposed to go pray for somebody, don't delay. You ever hear God tell you to go pray for somebody and then they died? Oh, that's just me. That's just me, right? God, you heard about somebody sick and the Holy Spirit said, you need to go to the hospital. You need to pray for them. And you'd be like, okay, but God, I got to go do this first. I got to go take care of this first. And you know what I've discovered that I missed an opportunity. I delayed. And therefore, I wasn't an opportunity to intercede. Will that person have been saved? Will they still be alive? I don't know. The point is I didn't put him first. I can't believe nobody else had that happen but me. I thought that was a common occurrence in the Christian community. Never had that happen to you? It will, because I just told you about it. You're going to be like, dang. Do you delay? Watch this. Why do we delay? Because I got something else to do. First, Exodus 23:19. This is all over the Bible. 450 times it's all over the Bible. Do put God first, 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 first. Exodus 23:19 says, the first of the first fruits. I love that. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not, look, the first of the first. So the first things you get, God said, I want the first of the first stuff you get. First of the first. Watch this, Deuteronomy 26:2. That you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your Lord, from your land that the Lord your God has given you. Watch this. Ezekiel 44:30. The best of all first fruits of any kind and every sacrifice of any kind from all your sacrifices shall be the priest. Also, you shall give to the priest the first of your ground meal. What is he saying? The first. Every time you get the first of whatever you get goes to God. Make me first. Check this one out. Mark 12:30 says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Put me first. Now, here's the one that's really going to get you. Luke 9:59. Then he said to another, this is Jesus speaking, follow me. And after Jesus says this, watch this. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Now, what you need to know is his daddy wasn't dead. He said, let me hang around because my dad's old and make sure that he's taken care of. Let me first go and take care of this situation. And watch Jesus' response, verse 60. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own. You know what? When you're dead, you're dead. You don't need nobody. Somebody will put you in the ground. Don't worry about it. But that's not what he's saying. He's like, look, you let your daddy take care of this. I'm calling you to follow me. Watch this. Let the dead bury their own, but you go and preach what? The kingdom of God. Seek first what? The kingdom of God. The kingdom comes first. The kingdom comes before myself. The kingdom comes before my family. The kingdom comes before anything that I want. The kingdom comes before what I feel. The kingdom comes before what I think. The kingdom comes before my attitudes. The kingdom comes before my job. The kingdom comes before my spouse. The kingdom comes before, come on, somebody better understand. The kingdom. Why? Because when you make what is important to God important to you, you say, God, you're important to me. And God is concerned about the kingdom. What's the kingdom? You're supposed to tell somebody else about Jesus. But first, God, I got to go do this. God's like, I'm not first. Stop playing with yourself. I ain't first. Watch this. Keep going. Luke 9:61. He goes on. He says, and to another, he says, Lord, I will follow you. Check this out. Look, God, look, I ain't got nobody buried. I'll follow you. But first, just let me go say bye to people. And you think that's not a bad request. Just want to go say bye. Now watch what Jesus says. People think that Jesus was so nice and sensitive and easy to work with and so loving with all of his comments. He says this. All right, let me tell you something. No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back, you ain't even fit for this. Seduces. Bounce. Now see, people don't say Jesus don't think like that. Jesus said, boop, boop. You ain't fit. He could have said, you're just not, this is not for you. But he says, you're not even fit, form or function made, possibly even consciously able to be able to be a part of the kingdom. Just go and go do what you want to do. Jesus went off on him. Jesus was kind of hardcore. Y'all remember Peter? Peter was like, I love you, Jesus. Jesus is like, I gotta die. No, Jesus, I will kill anybody to try to kill you. You know what Jesus said? Get behind me, Satan. Why? Because that's not what's first. Me taking care of me isn't first. I came here to sacrifice myself and to die. I didn't come here for your comfort and for us to hang out and for us to be cool, Peter, even though me and you are good friends. Look, I got something to say. Get behind me, Satan. And Peter, I would think Peter would be like, what? Did he just call me Satan? Y'all hear this? Peter was like, my bad. Bad. See, you've got to understand, when Jesus is talking about putting things first, he's serious. He's not coming to play. He's not coming to talk. He's like, I need to be number one in your life. Or look, you're not fit. You're not fit to do this kingdom thing. And you won't be fit till you make me first. Revelations 2:4 says this. Nevertheless, I have this against you. This is Jesus talking to the churches. He says, I got a problem with you. So tell me Jesus don't talk to folks like that. He says, I got an issue with you. Nevertheless, I have this against you. That you have left your what? Remember, therefore, check this out, from where you have fallen. Jesus, I come to church. He's talking to a church. He ain't talking to folks on the street who don't go to church every Sunday. He is talking to a church of people who show up every Sunday, and he says, you have jacked this up. Remember, therefore, from whence you have fallen. Repent and do what? The first work. And I was like, God, what's the first works? Baptism, getting filled with the Holy Spirit, was first works? No, it's putting God first. You, church, you've messed this up. You stopped putting me first. You left your first love. How do I know? Whoever you love the most is first. Wherever you spend your time is first. What's Jesus' love language? You know, they talk about love languages, giving and quality time and all that. What's Jesus' love language? Anybody know? Obedience. Drop the mic, walk away. Obedience. If you love me, what are you going to do? Keep my commands, obey me. If you don't keep my commandments, if you don't obey, then you are communicating to God that you don't love God. Oh God, but I love you, but I gotta go do this. God is like, just stop saying you love me. You ever have people who tell you they're gonna do something and don't do it? And when that happens, you just be like, just don't. I'm gonna be over there, I'm gonna make sure I pay you, just, don't even say that. I'm like that. I don't want to build up my own expectations. I think God is like, just stop saying that you love me. Because every time I ask you to do something, I ask you to go give. I ask you to go serve. I ask you to forgive. I ask you to love. I ask you to have peace. I ask you to have patience. I ask you to have kindness. I ask you to have love. And you know what you say? So God is like, come check back in when I'm really first. His love. God says obey. We say, nah, I don't really feel like it. God says give. We say, nah, I want to use that money for something else. God says love. We say, nah, I don't really like that person. God says forgive. We say, nah, I don't really want to because they hurt me so bad. Just so bad, Jesus. You're telling God, I don't really love you. Because we're not willing to sacrifice and compromise to get other things. We're not willing to sacrifice and compromise what we want to do what he wants us to do. Therefore, you say, I don't love them. So now you're looking at me and you're talking about, we're talking about releasing obedience, or releasing abundance. I'm almost done. People are like, God, I'm coming to church every Sunday. Hey, I sing on the worship team. Hey, I greet. Hey, I teach in the back. I even work back there with Alex on the AV. Get the gospel out through the internet, Jesus. God is like, you don't love me because I'm not first. Some of us are putting those things before God. Some of us are saying those things that I do, God, I'm proving to you that I love you by what I do. Therefore, you ought to just be happy because I'm showing up early on Sunday. I'm setting up chairs. I'm standing in the back greeting. I'm singing. You ought to be glad, God, that I'm giving you this. God is like, every Christian's supposed to do that. It makes me mad when people want to celebrate things that folks supposed to already be doing. No offense, dads. I love dads. I think dads are amazing. But people want to celebrate when you get a good dad. Ain't you supposed to provide? Oh, he's such a good man. He provide for his kids. He be there. He go to all their games. Ain't that what he's supposed to do? I mean, nobody celebrates mom because we're doing what we're supposed to do. Oh, one day of the year, we get a woohoo. But, we see a man, we be like, woo, look at they doing, man. Right, because we don't see it often, we want to celebrate. And it should be. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that men shouldn't be celebrated because I appreciate men doing what they're supposed to do because it's so rare in this time. But I'm saying sometimes we celebrate stuff that's just supposed to happen. And in the church, we have to do things because this is my love relationship with God. This is what I'm supposed to do. God wants our first, our heart first. He wants to be in number one position. Let me say this to you real quick. I'm going to close. Children of Israel, get ready to go into the promised land. Not the people who, came out of the wilderness, came out of Egypt. Those all died, but the ones who were the children of them, they get ready to go in. And the first city they come to is Jericho. Now, God has promised them, all the land and all the wealth. First city they come to is Jericho. You know what God says to do? I want you to take Jericho over. As soon as they shout, walls fall down, he says, now burn the city up. Say what now? No, God's already promised you everything, but the first city you come to, burn it, because that's mine. Don't take no spoils. Don't take nothing out of it. Just walk through, burn it up, kill it. And you're like, but that's gold. But dang, that jacket looked good. Ain't nobody here. As a matter of fact, one person looked around, saw some cool stuff, and just said, I'll just sneak a little bit for myself. And then they go to this little town next called AI. And AI, they're supposed to kick people butt. They say, we ain't going to beat them. We just sent 2,000 or 3,000 people. They go in, send 2,000 or 3,000 people. 36 people die that day. And Joshua gets on his face before God and say, Lord, oh my God, what did we do? You promised us we're going to win. What happened? And you know what God says? Get up. Get up off your knees. It's sin in your camp. Go deal with that. And God, Joshua's like, sin in the camp. And Joshua didn't know where it is. So he called them tribe by tribe, people by people, family by family, till it came down to one man, Achan. And Achan said, my bad. It just looks so good. I know I wasn't supposed to take it, but what's the big deal? And you know what God said the big deal was? You didn't put me first. So you know what God did? God said, kill him. Kill Achan. 36 people died that day because of one man's sin. But it wasn't just those 36, and it wasn't just Achan. God said, don't just kill him. Kill his whole family so that thing that he got on him won't jump to other folks. Kill them all. Oh, see, y'all don't want to talk about God being like that. Oh, he loved me. He's so gentle. He's so kind. This is his love. He's trying to keep this spirit of putting other things first from jumping all over everybody. And we get in the church, and we don't want to tell nobody, you, that's not first. You got to put God first. Joshua was like, you have got to put God first. And since you can't, God says, you have got to die and all your family. Some scary stuff. I thank God for his grace today. Thank God for his mercy today. And y'all might say, why is God being so ticky-tacky about a couple little items? I mean, come on, God, they burnt the rest of the city. It was just a couple things. You know what God said? Because disobedience is a slippery slope. Starts off where you compromise in one area, then before you know it, you have truly fallen off the curve. That's why God is like, I ain't got time to play with that. I want to see one more scripture. Watch this. Okay, maybe two. But I got to go. Leviticus 27:30 says, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Tithe is God's and it's holy. So when you take a part of the tithe, like Achan did, even just a little piece, and hold it back for yourself, you have just taken from God. Malachi chapter 3 verse 9 says, will a man rob God? And you say, how will I? Now, see, here's what happened. The children of Israel were in devastation. Financially, they were tore up. They were broken down. And they was like, God, what's going on? And they was like, we tithe them. But they was tithing the worst stuff. They was giving last. They was giving late. They wasn't giving a full 10%. They was just throwing together. And they said, you know, God, what's wrong? And God says, let me ask you a question. Will a man rob God? No, Jesus, we won't rob you. Well, how do you rob me? Watch this. Verse 8. How do you rob me? In what way have we robbed you? And you know what God says? In your tithes and your offerings. Now, let me make this plain. Your tithe is what you, it is holy. It belongs to God. The minute you don't pay your tithes, what you have done is you have defiled that 10% of your income. And when you do that, you have immediately put a curse on yourself because you've taken what belongs to God. And you wonder why you go to church and you ain't seeing abundance released. Oops, he ain't first. Wait. Let me tell you this. Tithes and offerings is like this. Tithes and offerings is like going to a restaurant. You go to a restaurant, you know, you get a bill. You have committed when you order that I'm going to pay that bill. That's my tithe. My offering is the tip. Y'all get it? Now, what happens if you decide I'm just going to pay the offering? I'm just going to pay the tip. Somebody going to chase you out of there and lock you up. Why are they locking you up? Because that money belongs to that establishment. Some of us are coming to the church giving our offerings and saying, here, God, here's your tip. And God's like, well, where's the bill? How come you ain't paid the bill yet? And you wondering why blessings are not being released and why stuff ain't flowing in your life. So some of y'all need to stop tipping God. And you need to pay the bill. And the Bible says in tithes and offerings. Offerings is just what you choose. Whatever you want to give on top, that's on you. Watch this. Why? He says in tithes and offerings. Watch. Go on to the next verse. Watch this. Because you robbing me, and you're like, but I go to church. I'm giving. That's what the people were saying. I'm doing all this stuff. He says, but because you robbing me, you're cursed. When God said you cursed, you jacked up. You cursed. For you have robbed me. Go on to the next verse. Watch this. Bring not a part of your tithes. I'm tithing. I used to tell people, and it was so unbiblical, and Lord forgive me because I didn't know no better. I was trying to help people. I used to tell people, just start somewhere. Start at 2%. God is like, that ain't no tithe. Stop lying to them people. Where do you start? You start at 10. I got to build up and work my way up. No. That means you don't put him first. You don't build up. All belong, all the tithes. But God, you don't know my budget. You don't know how hard it is. You know if I ain't gonna make it. Yes, I do. And that's the reason why you ain't making it, because you ain't brought it all to me first. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Look, there is a work God is trying to do in this church. But God is like, I can't even do that work because my people keep robbing me. Well, Jesus, some of y'all are going to feel convicted that you need to write another check while you're sitting here. Because maybe you didn't give it all earlier. I don't need to see it. There's a little box. Just go and walk up there. Put it in at the end of this service. God bless you. We'll get it. We don't want to convict you. Start today. Here, don't say, well, I'll do it next paycheck. Don't delay. First. And God says, look, if you'll do this, here's where I'll release abundance. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven for you. And pour you out such a blessing that you won't have room enough. He even goes, says, I'll rebuke the devourer. Anything that's trying to take your money, I'll put a hold on it. So you can't afford not to. It's already his. Stop acting like, well, God, I'm giving you this. It's like, it's already mine. Stop playing like you're doing some big thing. Do I tithe on the gross or the net? Real quick, because everybody want to know, do I tithe on the gross or the net? Most people like to tithe on the net. Here's the problem. If you tithe on the net, Uncle Sam already got his money. What does Uncle Sam get his money off of? He get it off the gross. So he got his first. And you telling God, oh, I'll give you what's left. And God is like, if Uncle Sam get it first, then he first. I'm going to need you to tithe off the gross. Why? Because the gross is what the Lord is releasing to you. Well, I really ain't going to have nothing now, Jesus. If you will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these other things will be added to you. Come on and stand to you.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, senior pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohe partner, go to www.rohechurch.org or write to Rohe Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.